Please remain standing. Thank you. As we prepare to hear the gospel lesson this morning, our gospel text today comes from Luke 24, as has already been alluded to throughout our service. In preparation for the reading, let us pray. Lord God, help us to turn our hearts to you, to hear what you will speak to us, for we know that you speak peace over us. And that's our hope today, to experience your presence, and with that presence, your peace. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all of these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. The British theologian and writer N.T. Wright, commenting on this passage here in Luke 24, has called it a masterpiece of biblical literature. It is a text that really encapsulates the fullness of the entire gospel that we find in both the Old and New Testaments. This week I found an article by the Evangelical Theological Society. It was written nearly two decades ago, but it was written about this passage. And in that journal, they describe an interesting parallel that, frankly, I'd never really studied before. There's a parallel, it appears, between Luke 24 and the book of Genesis. It has been elaborated on by a Catholic bishop by the name of Robert Barron. I listen to his podcast quite often. My message this morning will utilize this interpretation, and for good reason. I believe that Jews living in the first century, Jews perhaps like Luke, who gave us this gospel, would have understood the things, or understood things that were happening in their world. They would have understood them in light of what the Bible taught. They would understand the world through the matrix of Scripture. Their scriptures are not our scriptures, but their scriptures were the Old Testament. We have both the Old and New Testament. But Luke, in his writing, references the Old Testament numerous times throughout his gospel. The text from the Old Testament that I want you to consider takes us all the way back, as I said, to Genesis, but to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 3. And what do we find in Genesis chapter 3 but the story of the fall involving Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were our original parents. Most of us have a basic knowledge of their story from chapter 3. We know it goes something like this, that God places them in a paradise garden and they are forbidden from eating of one tree in that. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Eve was deceived by a stranger, a serpent in the garden. And she convinces Adam to grasp the fruit from that forbidden tree. And they both ate it. Genesis 3:7 contains a key verse that links Genesis 3 and Luke 24. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They ate a meal, and then they saw something that they had never seen before. Namely, what is it that they see? Their own shame and guilt. They see their sin. Then God comes looking for them, doesn't he? After they eat the fruit, what do? They go and what? Hide. And God comes looking for them in the cool of the evening. They run, they hide, but God finds them anyway. Keep this story in the back of your mind as we go back to the story in Luke 24. Every Jewish person living in the first century would have known the story of Genesis 3 the same way that everyone knows what an ark and a rainbow represent in our culture. Back to Luke 24. So these two disciples, one is left unnamed, we know the other to be Cleopas. They make their way from Jerusalem the day of Jesus' resurrection. They go to a village called Emmaus. It's a day's walk away from the holy city. But they are seen in the story going away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the place where everything significant happens in Luke's gospel. It's the place where Jesus celebrates the Last Supper and institutes a new covenant with his disciples. It's the place where he is betrayed and arrested and ultimately crucified. It is the place where Jesus is buried. It is the place where he is resurrected from the dead. It is the place where the disciples will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the place where finally at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus will ascend back to the right hand of the Father. You see, heaven and earth need meet in Jerusalem. There is no place on our planet where those two realities come closer. To be walking away from Jerusalem is, in essence, to be walking away from God and the place of salvation. Cleopas and his companion are like, really, all of us, walking in the wrong direction. Their lives are full of confusion and doubt and pain and sorrow. They are like Adam and Eve, who walked away from God, and ultimately they had to leave paradise itself. Remember, Adam and Eve were forbidden from returning to the garden. Y'all, we are all sinners. We come into this world broken already because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But notice what happens next. While they were talking and discussing together, Luke says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Just like Adam and Eve, God comes looking for them. He walked into that place of shame and guilt in Adam and Eve's life, and he walked into their world of confusion. The reality of their sin and their brokenness. Well, Jesus does the same thing here in Luke 24. These disciples, they're walking in the wrong direction. And Jesus finds them anyway. Seeks them out. He accompanies them, walks alongside them as they are headed away from Jerusalem. Y'all, this is such a comforting passage. These two images, God in the Old Testament and the Son of God in the New Testament, act in the same manner. Despite our sin, God responds in grace to lead us home. Even though, the Apostle Paul says, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, God sent His Son, who was nailed to a cross and died to set us free. God seeks us out. Now, there is a poetic reversal that happens in this story here. In Genesis, Adam and Eve, they hide from God. But who's hiding in this passage? Jesus. Jesus, his identity is kept from these disciples. What is happening? How are we to interpret this? Well, both us hiding from God and God being unrecognizable to us both point to the same thing: our human condition, our alienation and separation from God because of our sin. Y'all, we are meant to be in harmony with God. The original intent of God was in the garden for humanity to walk hand in hand with God. His presence with our presence. Nothing separated. Not a breath, not an inch. But sin breaks the relationship. Both back in the garden and all throughout human history, there is a hiding and there is a lack of recognition. We relate to this. We know what it feels like to be full of shame and guilt because of our wrongdoing, because of our breaking God's law. We feel that alienation. We fail to see God in those moments. But then there's a bit of comedy that unfolds in this story. Jesus, walking with them now, asks them, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" What is the response of these disciples? "What? Are you the only person that doesn't know what's been happening? What rock have you been hiding in?" And they begin to share with Jesus the details of the story of what happened to Jesus. And you know what? They get the story straight. They understand the story. They explain the things concerning Jesus. They say, "He was a mighty prophet in word and deed. And the religious authorities, they arrested him. They condemned him and they had him crucified. We had hoped that he was the one that would redeem our nation. It's been 3 days since he died. And just this morning, some of his companions went to the tomb, and guess what? They were greeted by angels who told them that Jesus wasn't in that tomb anymore, that he was alive. The tomb was empty. And they came back and told us about it." Y'all, these disciples, they recount the details of the story accurately, but something is missing. What do they not have? They don't have the meaning. They don't know how all of this fits together. It's like having a jigsaw puzzle. Imagine you've got the pieces to a jigsaw puzzle, but you don't have the box. How do you put it together? How do you make sense out of it without the picture? They have the details of Jesus and his story, but they don't get him. And so Jesus says, "Oh, foolish ones that are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer all of these things and then enter into his glory?" And so what does Jesus do then? He starts with the law of Moses and continues all the way through their Old Testaments into the prophets, explaining to them how it all points to him. Did you know that? Did you know that our Christian faith, the foundation of it, is in the Old Testament? There are signs all over the place. It is all pointing to Christ. It helps us interpret and understand who Jesus is. The Old Testament paints the portrait of Christ. And when you get the picture and you get how all of the pieces of Jesus' story fit together, then you understand it. Then hearts start catching fire. They start to get it. They are sinners that are headed in the wrong direction, but Christ walks alongside them, leading them to understand how the scriptures all paint the picture of the gospel of Christ. The same is true for us. We need to be taught this good news. We need to be shown from a biblical point of view how to understand our world, our human condition, and what God does about it. How God remedies it through the cross of Jesus and his resurrection. Y'all, this is the task of parents to their children. This is the task of mentors to confirmands. This is the job of the church. This is the task of anyone who shares life with us, who walks with us, so to speak, and shares the gospel. So these disciples, they finally arrive at their destination, to Emmaus. And Jesus acts as if though he's going to go on without them. But these disciples, they need to continue in their growth. They need more understanding. And so they beg Jesus to stay. And that night they have the meal. And at the table, Jesus does something strange yet familiar. Luke says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. What is Jesus doing? He is performing the gestures of the Last Supper. Holy Communion. Takes, blesses, breaks, gives. The same gestures we perform at this holy table. And what happens as a result of those holy gestures? Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The same as in Genesis. You see, in Genesis, though, you have a bad meal. Adam and Eve, they grasp, they take the fruit. They want to define the boundaries for themselves of what is good and evil. They disobey God. They take for themselves, and with that gesture of gravity, their eyes are opened, and they recognize their sin, which results in shame and guilt. But in Luke 24, at this meal, we have a good meal. Jesus feeds them the bread and the wine, covenantal symbols of his sacrificial death, helping them to understand what God is doing through him. And now their eyes are opened again, but not to their shame, but to their salvation. They see Jesus and they recognize him. They have a personal encounter with the living presence of Jesus. Y'all, this story can be read as a reversal of that earlier story from Genesis. A bad meal, eyes are open to shame. They lose their identity and their sense of mission in the world. Luke 24, we have a good meal, eyes are open to salvation, and now there is a recognition of their identity and their mission. Finally, that mission. No one in the Bible is ever given an experience of God without being given. Go find someone. You won't. To experience God is to find our identity, what we were created for. And it also helps us to find our sense of purpose in the world. Once their hearts were burning, they saw it. They knew what to do. What do these disciples do? They return to Jerusalem, don't they? They go back. They share the news. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now they know where to go. Now they understand their mission. Y'all, we have to put ourselves in this story. You see, this is a post-resurrection story. And there's something that all of these stories have in common. We are meant to place ourselves in these stories. We are meant to understand how the living presence of Jesus intersects with our lives in our own time. The risen Christ has no boundaries. there is no limit where he can go and what he can transform. These stories aren't just history. They show us how the living Christ is present with us today. And the good news is Jesus will walk with us on our journey, open our eyes, show us our mission, and then we'll know where to go. We'll know that road that leads us home.